This week's Divrei Torah are being learned L'Zecha Nishmas, Avi Murray, Rabbi Yitzchak Moshe David, Ben Rav Baruch, and L'Zecha Nishmas, Rabbi Shua Aryeh, Ben Rabbi Yisachar Beresh, and also as a Refuah Shleima to Imi Marasi, Malka Bas Zisel. The pasuk in this week's Parsha discusses one who murdered another person b'shoigeg unintentionally. And the pasuk goes on to explain that the murderer must run to the Arei Miklat for protection from the Goel Adam, for protection from the relative of the person that he murdered. The pasuk says, Tochin l'cho haderech, you shall prepare a way to the Arei Miklat. And Rashi explains that the pasuk is teaching us that signs were placed at each crossroad with the word Miklat on it to point the way to the direction of the Arei Miklat. There was once a man who traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Europe to collect money for the poverty-stricken yeshivas of Yerushalayim. He tried as hard as he could to raise the funds, but unfortunately he was unsuccessful. And even though it was difficult, he was willing to accept that this was the Ratzon Hashem, that it simply was not meant to be that he would be successful in this trip to Europe. But upon hearing that there was another non-religious individual collecting for some non-religious cause, who was collecting at the same time and the same place that he was, and this person was highly successful in his endeavor, so the person collecting for the yeshivas became very frustrated, and he approached the Chafetz Chaim to try to understand Hashem's perplexing ways. And the Chafetz Chaim responded by asking a question. We find in our parsha that signs were placed on the road to assist the Ratzeach to arrive safely at the Arei Miklat. But we do not find a similar law requiring that signs be posted pointing the way to Yerushalayim to assist those who are trying to find Yerushalayim where they are going to be Oyle Regel. So why were there signs posted to show you where the Arei Miklat was, and there were no signs posted to help you find Yerushalayim? And the Chafetz Chaim answered that the person on the way to the Arei Miklat, even though he only killed somebody unintentionally, he was not a moral role model for other people. He was not somebody that we want other people to be exposed to, as Hashem would have never caused this to happen to a completely righteous person. We therefore provide directions for him, so he won't stop on the way and interact with other people. He'll go straight to the Arei Miklat. On the other hand, the Medrash tells us that Elkanah would take a different route each year when he and his family would go to Mishkan Shiloh, and he would take a different route in order to meet different people on the way and to encourage them to join him in going to Mishkan Shiloh. There aren't any signs pointing to Yerushalayim, so that the Oyle Regolim would have to ask directions from the locals, thereby exposing the locals to tzaddikim who are doing mitzvahs, so that maybe they too would join in the performance of the mitzvahs, and they too maybe would also go to be Oyle Regel. The Chafetz Chaim comforted this man by saying, the other non-religious person who was collecting would have been a negative influence on the people he encountered. Therefore, Hashem caused him to obtain his funds immediately, so he wouldn't linger in Europe and corrupt other people. On the other hand, you, who are an Erel Chiyid, collecting for yeshivas, would be a positive influence on other people, a positive influence on everyone you meet. Therefore, Hashem caused you to linger in order that you will be able to inspire many people on your trip. The second Divrei Torah for this week is that at the end of the parsha, we have the topic of Egla Rufa, when a corpse is found in a field and we don't know who killed this person. So the Zakenim of the nearest city are required to bring an Egla and slaughter it with an axe and wash their hands over the Egla and say, Yodeinu lo shavchu es adam hazeh ve'einenu lo ro'u. Our hands did not kill this person and our eyes did not see who did it. Rashi asks, V'chi osa alev shezikne bezin shevche domenem? Would it enter anybody's mind that the Zakenim are suspected of killing this person? So why do they have to declare Yodeinu l'shavchu es adam hazeh that we did not do it? Who would suspect the Zakenim of doing such an act? Says Rashi, what the Zakenim mean to say is lo yiroinuhu upatarnuhu b'lemizoynos uveloy levoya. We did not send off this man without food and without escorting him. We are declaring that we gave him food and we escorted him out of the city. What is difficult to understand is why would mizoynos and levoya protect this person? And if the Zakenim did not give him food and did not escort him, then they are responsible for his death? What's the connection between Mizoinus and Levoya and protecting this person from death? Answers the Maral, when a person is alone, he is judged based on his own deeds, his own merit. However, when a person is part of a tzibur, he is able to tap in and benefit from the merits of the whole tzibur, of the whole community, even when his personal merits are insufficient. When this person was in the city, he had the protection of the merits of the whole city, of the whole community. Now that this person was setting out on his journey, leaving the city, he is putting himself in a position to be judged by his own merits alone. Therefore, the Ziknei Ha'ir have to give him food and escort him. And by doing that, he is still bonded to the community that he left, and he can still be protected by their zchusim. And that is why the Zakenim must say, we gave him a zaynus, we escorted him. Because if they did not say that, and they did not do that, they would be the cause of him being cut off from the tzibur and being judged as an individual. And then they can be accused of having a hand in his murder. This idea of being part of a tzibur is illustrated with a story of a student taking an exam. As the class was finishing up the test, the teacher announced that there's 1 minute left and everyone should finish up and start handing in their papers. A minute goes by and the teacher announces, okay, it's time for everyone to hand in their papers. All the students handed in their papers except for one student. And this student continued finishing up his test, continued writing his answers. The teacher, now angry, says to the student, hey, I told you to finish up. If I don't get your paper right now, you're going to fail this test. And the student ignored the teacher and kept on writing his answers on his paper. The teacher, now really frustrated, says, okay, it's too late, you failed this test. The student finishes up his test and starts heading to the front to hand in his paper. But the teacher says to him, I told you it's too late. You can't hand in your paper anymore. You failed. So the student turns to the teacher and says, do you know who I am? And the teacher says, I really do not care who you are. You did not hand in the paper, so you failed. The student says again, are you sure you don't know who I am? The teacher responded, I do not know who you are. I do not care who you are. You failed the test. The student then proceeds to lift up the pile of test papers and slips his test right in the middle and turns to the teacher and says, well, if you don't know who I am, I'm very happy. Have a good day. That is what it's like to be part of a tzibur. When somebody is part of a tzibur, he can mix in with the tzibur and not be looked as an individual by himself. And that is why the Zakenim have to say that we gave mezainus to this person. We escorted this person. We kept him connected to the tzibur. And therefore, we do not have a hand in his death.